Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson, and this is one of my favorite shows that we have ever done. First off, the panel is two of my favorite panelists with very, very different perspectives. Gloria Allred, a progressive icon on the left, versus John Cobalt from John and Ken, one of the most popular conservative talk show hosts in the history of Southern California. Both of them have a mutual respect for each other, and both of them could not disagree more. And to see a respectful, fun, smart debate on some big issues, including whether or not to build a wall, was really fun to be a part of. But our first guest is the biggest newsmaker of the week when it comes to California politics, the brand new governor of California, Gavin Newsom. I was up in Sacramento for his inauguration, got a chance to talk to him a bunch up there. His team said, as sort of a reward for making the trip and doing all the reporting we've done over the last year with him, that they gave us one of the first interviews with him, the first primetime interview with him since he took over as governor of the state, talking about his budget, talking about the inauguration, talking about his relationship with President Trump, and talking about our shared time together. You know, he was our first guest on our very first show of The Issue Is, and now he is giving us one of his first interviews as governor of the state. So we've got Gloria Allred, John Cobalt, but let's begin with Governor Gavin Newsom on The Issue Is.
It's the first time I've gotten to say Governor Newsom. How does that sound and how does that feel?
Well, it depends on the day of the week, but it feels pretty good, especially being able to get through the day and getting our budget out there, which we worked hard on during the transition.
Well, I've never seen you quite happier than talking about the ins and outs and the weeds of the budget. So let's try to talk, though, sort of in general terms, because you mentioned that the budget was an expression of values. So what are your values that are being expressed in this budget?
Well, a strong foundation for California's future, because I'm not naive. It's not lost on me. The headwinds in front of us, the fact that we're almost 10 years into recovery. We don't want to go back to the days of 2011, 12, and 13. So we want to make sure we're prepared for a rainy day, quite substantively so. We have an historic amount in our rainy day reserve. We paid down $4 billion of remaining debt. We're going to start paying down our unfunded liabilities on pensions. At the same time, a firm foundation requires the ability to build something on top of it, and that means investing in the future, preschool, higher education, and stabilizing our education budgets.
So let's go through some of those one by one, but first sort of a general question, because a lot of people feel that Californians are overtaxed as it is, and they hear that we have a $21 billion budget surplus. Why not give some of that money back? Why not give people a tax rebate?
Yeah, I feel that as well, and I understand that stress and anxiety, but let's not forget the volatility of our tax system. During the good times, we tend to do disproportionately well, but during the difficult times, we do much, much worse. And so it's incumbent, when you have a progressive tax system like California's, that we set aside for a rainy day reserve. Look, we just are paying off that $34.7 billion of debt we inherited some 8 years ago. We'll have no debt after this budget is signed. That said, we still have $181 billion of unfunded liabilities in our pension system and unfunded healthcare liabilities. So we're hardly out of the woods. So that's how I'd respond. I appreciate the sentiment, but at the same time, we're battening down the hatches, paying down debt, and preparing for a downturn, which is inevitable.
But you're also investing in the future, especially when it comes to early childhood education. What exactly does this mean to folks if they've just had kids? Are they about to have free universal pre-K?
Yeah, we're going to architect that. It's going to take a few years to deliver. Even if we had all the money that we could want, we couldn't spend it in the next year. You've got to get leases. You've got to train a workforce. You've got to procure and retrofit facilities. So we're going to do a down payment on a three-year strategy to fully implement universal preschool for one reason. You want to get serious about the achievement gap in the state? Let's address the readiness gap. People don't end up behind in college. They start behind before they enter kindergarten because this state doesn't do enough to prepare our kids for kindergarten. That's about to change.
And then once they get into college, they're now working on community college for 2 years as well.
Yeah, we're going to finally do free community college that second year. Last year, we did the first year of free community college. We now have a budget that will create the framework for that second year. We also are putting in $1.3 billion more than we did last year in higher education. I serve on the UC Regents, the CSU Board of Trustees. We have underfunded higher education, which is really the conveyor belt for talent in California. We're the envy of the world, quite literally the envy of the world, our higher education system. So no tuition increases, and now the ability to get more in-state students enrolled in our UC and CSU systems, and now address the issues of cost pressures.
Well, let's talk about K through 12, which is the biggest part of the budget as a whole. Here in Los Angeles, we are on the cusp of a teacher strike on Monday. Both the union and the district say that Sacramento isn't giving them enough money. What can you do as governor to help stop this?
Well, this budget we put together today is an historic amount of money for our K through 12 education system. In 2011, it was about $47 billion. I just submitted a budget this afternoon, $80.7 billion, the highest it has ever been. We have a COLA increase of 3.46%. Forgive me, I may have lost folks on that. It's just a way of saying more discretionary money at the district level for the utilization of billions of dollars of additional resources. We're going to put $576 million to special education, which has been significantly under-resourced. And I'm putting $3 billion in a one-time investment to address some of the biggest cost pressures, for example, at the LA Unified School District and school districts large and small. And that's the issue of retirement contributions and the stresses related to retirement benefits. That $3 billion will translate to $350 million of additional resources a year.
But that's all sort of long term. But in the real near term, on Monday, these teachers are supposed to walk out. Some 600,000 students without their teachers, their parents wondering if they should cross the picket lines or not. What do you say to all these folks?
Yep. Well, it's unacceptable. No one wants to see a strike. I was a former mayor. Dealt with pressures as a mayor around strikes. In my city, we did our best to mediate and mitigate that. My hope is through this weekend, we'll see some mediation that will come to fruition. If it doesn't, if both sides ask, we'll intervene. I don't want to overpromise, not the job necessarily directly of a governor, but look, the magnitude of this strike will impact Californians, it will impact this country in a pretty pronounced way. It's going to impact the lives, not only the hundreds of thousands of students that are directly not able to enter into school on a school day, but their parents, their family members, and the broader community. We can't afford that this juncture. So we're going to have to do our best to address some of the legitimate concerns that teachers' unions have, not only around pay, but around class sizes. And I hope our budget did a little bit to help soften that blow. And to the extent we could be more helpful, I'm committed to that.
Do you think parents should still bring their kids to school?
That's a difficult one for me to assess. And it's one, I think, for individual parents to make as a determination. I don't know what the current staffing will look like as it relates to a strike and what affords in terms of making sure that they have an enriched experience. And the basis of that understanding, I'd be able to better assess whether or not I, as a parent, would perhaps send my kids to school that day.
Yeah, right now they're talking about some 400 substitutes to replace 30,000 teachers. So that'll be a pretty interesting situation.
That's tough.
Let's talk about another big part of your budget, which is wildfire relief, which is something that has impacted so many people here. We saw in so many different parts of Southern California. On Sunday, we both were up in Sacramento together, and I talked to you about President Trump's handling of wildfires so far. This is what you had to say.
That this president, from the Oroville Dam to all of these fires, from, you know, the ones down in Ventura, Santa Rosa, obviously Malibu, the Woolsey Fire, and Paradise, he's not played any politics, and we're very grateful for that. So far, yeah. And, you know, look, it's, you know, we're in a different period now with Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a different time with the government shut down. My eyes are wide open, not naive.
So at that point, you said that he hadn't been playing any politics. Then about a day and a half later, he sends out a tweet, which was clearly political, and saying that he was threatening to pull back funding from FEMA. What's your message to the president? And are you worried that he might actually do this?
He has no legal authority to do it, but he is threatening $2.1 billion in those FEMA grants. And the irony of that's not lost on me. Look, I spent close to 7 hours with the president when he did come out And again, I do compliment him for taking the time to see firsthand the disaster that was Paradise and the Camp Fire, and obviously what occurred down in Malibu in Southern California. With that knowledge, with that personal experience, I expect more of the president. And again, as you heard me a day before he sent out that tweet, complimenting him, not taking cheap shots and making the point that this is an area which should be apolitical. We should rise above politics and partisanship when it comes to emergency declarations, emergency planning, and then being there for Americans after a disaster. A lot of these folks, especially up in Northern California and Butte County, overwhelming majority voted for President Trump. They expect more of him. And I think they should demand more of him. So, look, I'm hopeful that this was just one of those rage tweets, and he'll be on to something else in the next few days. But one thing I know about this state, we have the backs of the people of this state, even if the President of the United States turns his back.
Let's talk for a moment about that day, because we were out there with you in Malibu, and I asked the president about his relationship with you, and then he brought you in for this sort of strange, awkward, I don't know what it was, hug, handshake thing that happened. What was going through your mind as that happened? What was going through your mind that whole day?
We got along. He's very personable. He went out of his way to try to develop a rapport and a relationship. And it gives me a bit of an insight as to why he's in the position he's in. He couldn't have been more gracious. I mean that in terms of his time and attention to what was going on and the suffering. And he made direct, firm commitments that he would be there for the long haul and would not play politics. Again, that's what's disappointing about a tweet. But you know what? I've been disappointed by so many other tweets. And frankly, at this point, I begin to roll my eyes a little bit, and I don't take them as seriously as I once did, though they do deserve a response. We did respond, but we didn't respond by trying to deepen the divide. We tried to elevate the conversation, and that's my commitment here. Again, we could disagree on border wall funding. We can disagree on health care and health care reform, on so many other issues, climate change. But when it comes to emergency planning, we're Americans first.
On the issue of your budget one more time, what is the most important thing you want people to know about your budget?
Well, 86 cents of every dollar in that $21.4 billion surplus, we're going to invest one time, which is very fiscally disciplined. We're paying down a historic amount of debt. We're paying down long-term debt. And at the same time, we're starting to make long overdue investments in affordability, not just affordability of preschool, not just affordability as relates to childcare and education, particularly higher education, but on housing and the issue of homelessness. We put $1.75 billion into addressing housing affordability and put hundreds of millions of dollars to deal with the crisis that is homelessness manifesting on streets large and small, substantively in Los Angeles today. Mayor Garcetti, the entire County Board of Supervisors needs the support of the state of California, and we're offering that support in a meaningful way.
Let's talk about your inauguration day. You have said that you were honored to be at Dutch's inauguration because as you were speaking, your two-year-old son comes on stage and ends up sort of dominating the entire day. We're all sitting in the back like wondering what was going to happen next. What were you thinking as all of this was happening?
It was a human moment. It was a very expressive moment because there wasn't much I can do about it standing up there at a podium, but it was also a very familiar moment. Anyone with a two-year-old knows what I mean. I have a very independent two-year-old. And when he came up to me and he looked up at me, I didn't have any hesitation but to bring him up in my arms. I just didn't know he'd stay there for a good portion of the speech. But, you don't rehearse that. I didn't have any other choice but to try to get through that moment, and I hope I didn't embarrass anybody, and I hope I was at least able to get through and still communicate the message of the inaugural.
You know, all of us in the California press corps were all talking. We could not remember a time where a governor of California had a two-year-old, and it's not, you have four kids under nine on a human level. They're now moving to Sacramento. How do you balance that? How do you balance being the governor of California and the father of four small kids?
Well, without boring you, last night I was trying to prepare for this budget announcement today, and none of them want to go to bed. They're so excited about being in their new home, and they're now in a new school. It's a lot of change in a very short period of time. And so it's an exciting time. It's a challenging time as well. And again, it's what every parent goes through and understands. And again, without going back to the budget, I want people to know deep emphasis on not just taking care of children, but also helping support parents. We want to do paid family leave. We want to extend it from 6 weeks to 6 months. Nothing more important than that developmental time with a child. We want to make sure that parents that are going to school, UC, CSU, Community College, 29,000 of them has access to more student loans and student grants, and that's reflected in the budget. I guess it's a way of expressing this, Alex, that when you have the experience day in, day out of parenting, it's not an intellectual exercise, it's a very emotional and heartfelt exercise. And I try to translate that in terms of the values you spoke of at the top of this segment to the values that were expressed substantively in those dollar figures and those percentages that we laid forth or set forth in our budget.
And you're not doing this alone. You also have a partner, Jennifer, who you're calling the first partner. What does that term mean, and why first partner instead of first lady?
Well, she makes sure that I say that not only is she a feminist, but I am as well. And we're looking forward to the day when we have the first woman as governor. And their partner is not going to be first lady. It's going to be first partner. So Jen is basically making a statement that that's the future. And that's the one we should all envision. And every young child, particularly young girls, not just young girls, though, young boys as well, should envision. So I think she's just expressing as a point of emphasis and statement that it's a new day. Even if we are running traditional roles today, that new day is upon us very shortly.
So you're enjoying it? Is it worth it?
So far, day four, it better be worth it. That was a long 3-year journey. You were on it for a good portion of that. And we brought, of course, the public along over that 3-year journey. But I hope it's worth it for all of us. A lot of vexing problems in the state, declining middle class, cost pressures that every family is feeling. I hear you. I recognize those stresses and struggles. And I hope our budget is a down payment on beginning to address those.
Well, Governor Gavin Newsom, you were our first guest on our very first edition of The Issue Is, and we're grateful to now have you here as governor of the state. We welcome you back anytime. Thank you very much for making the time, and congratulations to you.
Thank you again. Look forward to coming back.
All right. Thank you very much to Governor Gavin Newsom. So a lot to unpack there. Coming up next, we've got a panel to talk about all that with very different views. Attorney Gloria Allred is with us, as well as John Cobalt from KFI's John and Ken. They up next. Stay with us. A look into downtown LA at night, and you know what that music means. She's back. Welcome to our panel, including G-L-O-R-I-A. Gloria Allred is with us for the fourth time tonight.
Great.
Of course, she is one of the best-known attorneys in the world. She's a champion of progressive causes, especially when it comes to women's rights. She's represented so many high-profile victims. She's the subject of the Netflix documentary Seeing Allred, which you should all see. Joining us for the third time, John Cobalt's here. He's one of the most successful radio hosts in the history of Southern California. The conservative commentator, co-host of the highly rated John and Ken show, which you can listen to on KFI AM 640 weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. And usually we have three panelists, but you both are so strong that we decided we don't want to put somebody in the middle because that would just be unfortunate for them.
Right, they could get hurt.
So,
let's do it.
Let's talk for a moment, though. I begin with Gavin Newsom, who we just heard from there, inaugurated this week. What do you make of that?
We play a lot of tape from his speeches on our show. He talks in circles and in riddles. I truly don't understand what he's talking about much of the time. And if you've ever seen that Stephen Colbert clip from a few years ago, Newsom starts saying, well, big is small and small is big. And Colbert interrupts him and says, what the bleep are you talking about? Is there a BS detector in the back of this book? Because he was selling a book at the time. And I find the same thing when I hear him speak at length. I don't know what he's talking about.
Gloria?
I did understand what he was saying in the clip that you showed, and I thought that he came across as very authentic and very clear. For example, when he was talking about the budget, he didn't try to play games or play hide the ball. He was indicating that he wants to have a balanced budget, but he was also very honest with the public and saying there, look, a lot of unfunded liabilities that they're going to have to take care of in years to come, pensions and others, and so just watch out and they're going to need to have a reserve for the recession that is probably going to be upon us.
Of course, the big national story, which impacts people in Southern California in such a big way, is this question over border security and whether we should or should not build a wall. John, why should we build a wall?
There's no other way to keep illegal immigrants out. There isn't. Walls work. They have one in Israel on the southern border with Egypt. It's reduced from thousands of people coming across from Africa to zero in 2017. Mm. I don't know of another solution. People talk airily about drones and sensors. Drones and sensors don't stop people from crossing. They'll alert you that there was some kind of motion, but it doesn't stop. What you need is a stop, because in California, we suffer a net loss of over $20 billion for what we have to pay in services to illegal immigrants compared to the tax money they bring in. $20 billion? When Newsom talks about the declining middle class, the pressures on the middle class, that's part of the pressures. We have very high taxation. If we have high taxation, I just think the American citizens here ought to get the return on it.
Gloria, should we build a wall?
No. And the only walls that we're going to be seeing in the near future, other than the ones, by the way, that are already built at the border, are the ones that are closing in on President Trump. He wants to say there's a national emergency, there's a national crisis. I do agree that there is a national emergency, but the national emergency is the fact that President Trump is president of the United States and that he is packing the courts with extreme right-wing appointees as judges and perhaps members of the Supreme Court. And also, he's ignoring the crisis of global warming and just ignoring the rule of law. That's the emergency.
But John says that it's the only way to keep illegal immigrants out is to build a wall. Why is that not true?
It's not true because we have a very low rate of immigration that is not technically legal immigration.
We have 22 million.
And even the Cato Institute has put out figures that, you know, essentially that we don't need any billions funding for the wall. What about Mexico will pay for the wall? What about that, John? This is such nonsense. They've already said they're not going to pay for it.
I wish Mexico would pay for the wall.
Well, you can wish, but that's a fairy tale.
Well, if it doesn't happen, we should still pay for the wall because it's affecting us.
Well, you know what?
And you have 22 million illegal immigrants already here. What's the limit? How many more are acceptable?
President Trump did not run on taxpayers. You, me, and everyone watching this show, the issue is, are going to have to pay for the wall. Now he's saying
willing to pay for the wall.
Well, you are.
I am.
Well,
I think it should have been done 20, 30 years ago.
So you're asking.
I mean, you've got a situation. Look what we got in the Los Angeles School District.
So
we have a lot of immigrant kids. They're not learning because they don't know the language.
I used to be a teacher in the Los Angeles Unified School District. The only thing wrong with the Los Angeles Unified District is that the teachers are not making enough and it's not as well funded as it should be.
If you gave them all a $10,000 raise, how does that improve anybody's test score?
The teacher is just richer.
You
might be willing to pay for the wall, but how about all the almost a million people now out of work because President Trump has decided to shut down the government and they can't even get a paycheck
today? He said he was going to build the wall. That's what he ran on. And everybody mocked him, saying, oh, you made this big promise, you're not coming through. A lot of left-wing
But he said that Mexico would
pay
for the wall.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Mexico said they are not paying.
And they said they're not paying. So you go, so what are you going to do? Not build the wall at all? The point is the wall. The point is not who pays for it.
John, what do you say, though, about all the folks that come in via plane, Canadian border, overstay their visas? I mean, there's all these other places.
40% of illegal immigration is visa overstays. And I don't know how that happens. I mean, we have their addresses. We know their names. We have their pictures. How we don't keep track once their visa expires in this country is insane.
Yeah, my question is, did Melania overstay her visa or violate her visa? I don't know. We'll have to find that out.
She has to go.
But, you know, the point is this, that he did, as Alex said, say Mexico would pay for the wall.
Yes, we now know
that that's a lie. It was always a lie, and they're never going to pay for it. Now he's trying to say, well, indirectly, they're going to pay for it.
I don't take him literally at everything.
Well, a lot of people did.
Yeah, but you shouldn't.
This emergency declaration, should he do that?
if that's the only lever he's got, they don't, I mean, they could sit down and come up with a compromise number in a rational world, right? Something has to be done about illegal immigration. The wall does work, which is why they're against it. If they thought it didn't work, they wouldn't care that much.
You know,
but they know it works, and what they want is open borders. Now, if you want to have that debate, if you want to have an open borders debate, that's fine. But to have a debate about whether a wall works is ridiculous.
John, that's not true. And the point is, we have to also look at the fine print and the details. And what he wants to do is he wants to take money from the Defense Department, billions from the Defense Department. Wait a second. And also, for example, in California, there is a report today in the LA Times that what he wants to do is get money that was going to be used for flood control and for, you know, essentially prevention of certain natural disasters that could happen, and take it and use it to build the wall. Here in California, we care. He has no clue, really, I think, about what really we need in California and to protect us. Maybe he doesn't like our state because we voted blue, we voted against Trump, and maybe he's going to penalize us by taking money that would help
to
protect us.
Well, there's nothing but relentless mocking that comes from California. The politicians, the Hollywood celebrities, all the pundits. I mean, of course he's not going to, they're going to be first in line for a favor. Of course not.
Well, what comes from California is the truth. What comes from California is, we call him on his lies. We give the facts. That's what comes
from
California.
And doesn't the state also pay more into the federal government than it takes out?
Yeah, it does. But if you're Trump and Pelosi and Schumer won't give you the money, and you're the president and you have a legal right to tap other sources, whether it's the Defense Department or federal disaster funds, then you're going to do it. Remember, he's following up on his campaign promise that he was going to build the wall no matter what. Well, this is the no matter what part. Now, we could have a civilized, orderly appropriation, but Congress has to do that. They refuse to, which means they want open borders. Well,
it doesn't mean that.
What does it mean?
There's going to be a lawsuit.
It's either a wall or it's open
borders.
No, but is there possibly an in-between that both parties, you could find a middle ground here, which is basically that, yes, we should build a wall in some places, and yes, we need drones in some places, and yes, we need to work on visa overstay, and yes, we need to work on e-verify, and yes, we need to work on merit-based immigration, actual comprehensive immigration reform that each party gives a little bit and actually solve this problem instead of this posturing that's going on.
I think Trump would do a deal. He's a deal guy. He offered the DACA kids, the Dreamer kids, some kind of path to citizenship in exchange for the wall a year ago.
And then
Schumer and Pelosi said no.
And then he took it back.
Do you think they say yes?
By the way, Democrats are for border security. And they have indicated that.
That's a phrase. What does that mean?
It means all of the different items that are, by the way, in the Republican proposal for border security that once the Republicans were for, but now they don't even want to propose it because Mitch McConnell is not sure that Trump can be trusted to say, okay, I'm for it.
So I'm going to move to another topic briefly.
Why? This is so much
which
fun.
which is the Me Too movement. R. Kelly in the headlines this week. Some accusers speaking out that you represent against R. Kelly.
I do.
Do we feel like what's happening with the Me Too movement right now is healthy, or is this a bunch of sort of overreaction and a witch hunt?
Well, I think that it's very important that women be able to have their voice if they're willing to take the risks as well as the benefits of having their voice and speak out if they believe that they have been the victim of injustice. And that's what many of them did in the Lifetime documentary about R. Kelly. They are going to continue to do it. And now we hear his attorney on television this morning suggesting that he's going to sue Lifetime. One of my clients has a lawsuit against Mr. Kelly. You're going to hear more about that soon. I don't think that women are going to be intimidated into silence. And if that's what his attorney is trying to do, I don't think it's going to work.
John?
Somebody like R. Kelly, like Weinstein, they're psychosexual predators. It's pretty clear what they are. That's not so much Me Too as, you know, old-fashioned, you know, sexual felons. Where it gets really weird is when you have some women, and there's been a couple of cases of this, they write a blog online, and they basically had a bad date, or they had a relationship go bad, and they start publishing intimate stories of a terrible argument one
night. Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, right, Aziz Ansari, and who is that, Chris Hardwick?
Yep.
Yeah, and I thought those were unfair, because she gets the first say, which kind of sticks in people's mind, and you don't know who's right or wrong. And a lot of this isn't our business. If you're in a bad relationship or you're on a bad date, get out of it. But to go and smear somebody publicly in the name of Me Too, I think is excessive.
You don't know that every woman, and I'm sure it's not true, that every woman who makes allegations against a man on the internet is doing so because they had a bad date. That is an unfair generalization.
I'm saying
about
those that
many,
are bad dates.
Many of them.
And that's the thing is, you and I don't know what is a bad date, and it should be handled privately.
I know what a bad date is because when I was younger, I had a lot of them. So obviously, I do know many of those women were victims of injustice, of sexual assault, of rape, maybe of child sexual abuse, and they're speaking out because it's too late for them to have a lawsuit because the statute of limitations.
That's
it may be too late
for
there to be a criminal case.
If you don't have proof or corroboration, then I don't think you should use a tool to smear somebody publicly and destroy their career.
Many of them do have proof and corroboration.
Well, if they have it, that's different.
Well, by the way,
some people don't have it.
You know, a woman's word is also evidence in a court of law, even if she doesn't have corroboration.
Well, so is a man's word.
Okay, yes, but I'm saying
you
want
to take it to a court of law. That's the appropriate place for it.
Well,
it's not on the internet. What's the guy supposed to do?
Well, who said in the court of public opinion that a woman couldn't have a voice? Why does she have to suffer in silence?
Why does a man have to have his reputation destroyed?
Silent.
Well, why should a man be destroyed?
Well, he can speak out on the internet and say it's not true. He can file a lawsuit against her and say, I've been defamed.
Well,
he has options. He's not the victim
in many cases. I
think
we're going to have to leave it there. But let's talk about a woman that you both like, which is John's wife, Deborah. who's been a panelist here several times. And we asked for some holiday shout-outs from our panelists recently. And this is what she said on the show.
And to my husband, John. May next year you come around my way politically.
So how's that working out?
What a terrible ambush. it's not going well so far, a weekend.
All right. Well, when we come back, we want to bring everybody together. We are going to get ready to dance now. Gloria Allred ready to show off her best moves. And John, are you ready too?
I don't have a best move.
Okay, here it comes. Stay with us. More of The Issue Is right after this. Baby. Well, it's become a tradition. Every time that Gloria Allred is here, we dance together. She says it's the only condition she has on coming back is that we have to dance. So it is that time of the show. And we've got to incorporate John. We just had this feisty debate, but we got to see your best moves. In the spirit of unity, in the spirit of bipartisanship,
right.
in the spirit
That's
of
right.
people coming Gotta together.
Do you want a slow dance?
Hit it,
yes,
baby.
But I have to leave.
You can leave.
Here we go, Gloria. Let's see it.
Okay.
Show him your move. It's something like this, right? Are you guys going to slow dance together?
I think it's better, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a fast dance move.
Jill Ruckelhaus said she became a feminist because she got tired of always dancing backwards. So
I can do a
I'm leaving.
Look at that twirl.
Look at that.
That's
all right.
It.
There we go.
Bringing people together here on The Issue Is. We'll see you next week.
You're much better than I am.
Here, you like guns?
Well, it's too bad that you weren't able to watch that because John and Gloria danced together, slow danced together, and then Gloria gave a little twirl for John. I encourage you to check that out on my YouTube page if you want to see the video, youtube.com/AlexMichelson. That's Alex with an E. Subscribe there. Join me on Facebook at Alex Michelson, on Instagram at Alex Michelson, and Twitter at Alex_Michelson. Let's connect. Let me know what you think of the show. And subscribe here and leave a comment. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening this week, and have a great one. This has been The Issue Is.